everybody. Praise the Lord, everybody. This is another day the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Let's come down to the front, and let's get ready to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do me a favor and smile at least four people and tell them I'm glad to be alive on today. Let's worship. Father God, thank you today for what you're doing and how you're doing it. It's a brand new day. A day to rejoice. A day to be glad. A day to be filled with more of your presence than ever before. As we gather in this corporate setting. On today, God, we're going to lift your name. We're going to bless you. We're going to give you the glory. We're going to give you the praise. It is an opportunity to love on you again. We're kicking the devil's butt as usual. We're not making any excuses. We're simply saying we're more than overcomers through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's lift up a praise in this place. Come on.
He's alive.
He's alive.
He's alive.
He's alive.
your kingdom be established. Oh, Ancient of Days.
Ancient of Days.
Because you are good.
You are good.
And your mercy.
And your mercy.
Stay right there. Let's say it again. Arise, O God, and take your place.
Arise, O God,
and take your place.
Take your place.
Let your kingdom be.
Let your kingdom be
established. O
Ancient of Days.
You are good. You are good.
And your mercy.
shout of hallelujah in this place. Our God is mighty and awesome. I need 30 people in the house of the Lord today to lift up your hands. And I need you to open your mouth on your own accord. Don't be a hobo on the train of glory. Yeah, I said it. That means you got to pay for this ticket. Open your mouth and declare how good your God is. He's your strength. He is. Come on. Some of y'all still standing. Praise is in your mouth. The praise is in your mouth.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. There's an old statement, and please stay with me in worship because I'm very sincere with what I do. And I know some people, we have different presentations of worship. But you can find worship in anything that you do during the normalcy of your day. I like M&M's, peanut M&M's. For you conservatives of thinking that are saying, what is Pastor Johnson talking about? Let me give you the theological reference or the revelation to what I'm talking about. They say from a marketing standpoint that the M&M's, they melt in your mouth, not in your hand. When we talk about worshiping and praising God, the first thing that most people do, they begin to use their hands. That's a form of praise. But did you not know that I can speak words of life to you that will take you further than a hand praise? Yes. So let's take and extract something from the M&M company. It's not in our hands on today. It's in our mouth. For with the tongue, life and death is in the power of the tongue. But those that love it will eat of his fruit. That's Proverbs 18 to 21. I need you to open your mouth, not use your hands, and declare how good God is. He's the strength of my life. He's the source of my strength. He's my redeemer. He's my comforter. I don't hear nobody in the audience, but it's in your mouth. You are my strength. Strength like no other. Strength like no other. Amen. Reaches to me. You are my strength. Because it's in my mouth today, God. You're strength like no other. God, your strength like no other. Let's tell them all together, you are my strength. Yeah, strength like no other.
Strength like no other.
Strength like no other.
Like no other.
Reach us to me.
Reach us to me.
You are my hope. You are my hope. Hope like no other. Favor on this one right here. Could you lock arms with somebody today? Lock arms real quick. I want every cameraman in this place to put the cameras on the people of God and show our onlookers today that we're linking up together all across this world. Strength is rising for the people of God. Strength is coming back to the people of God. This song was not chosen by happenstance, but we believe that strength is coming up. Let's sing together. You are. You are my strength. Strength like no other. Strength like no
other.
Strength like no other.
Strength like no other.
It reaches to me.
Reaches to me.
Many people are hopeless today, but we say, you are my hope. Hope like the tear. Bringing hope back to the people of God. It reaches to who?
Reaches to me.
Father, thank you for being hope to those who may be hopeless. You are able, God, to keep us in this day. We look to the hills from which cometh our help. Our help comes from the Lord. Our strength, hallelujah, comes from you. It is one nation under God. We thank you, Father.
Oh God, yeah. I will exalt you.
Let's go.
I will exalt you. I will exalt you. You are my God.
I will.
I will. Jesus.
Today, I just want to encourage you. These are the moments of those intimate times. You know, there are times we're shouting and dancing and having fun, and you know, you're kind of feeding off the person next to you even a little bit. But this is the type of song where it's just you and Jesus. And I'd like to sing that one more time. And some of you stand, some of you sit. But I want you just to sing this to him. Is that all right? Just you and him. Just you and him. Nobody else. Just you and him. Are you ready? Just you and Jesus.
I will exalt you. I will exalt you.
Just you and Jesus.
I will exalt you. You are my God. I will exalt you. I will.
My safe refuge, my treasure, Lord. He's my friend and King, and King, anointed one, also my hiding place, my hiding place,
my safe.
Treasure, Lord, you are.
My treasure, Lord, you are. My friend and King.
He's anointed.
Anointed one, most holy.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Worship you. Thank you, Lord, that in you is security. In you is our hope. In you, God, is our future. And that, Father, no weapon formed against us shall prosper. We thank you for the peace of God that nobody can understand. And it's in this moment the infusion of the power of heaven is released. Thank you, Jesus, that you are our healer. Lord, you heal our minds, you heal our hearts, you heal our bodies. We thank you that today, Jesus, you love us. With all the mess that we are, with all the mess that we have, you love us. And you care for us. You're a good God. We love you. We exalt you. Everything we have is in you. In him we live and move and have our being. We love you, Jesus. And everybody in agreement said, amen. On your way back to your chair, we'd like you this morning, we're not going to do the meet and greet. If you could just make your way back to your chair. My wife and I would just like to talk to you for just a moment. Hallelujah. Shake some hands on the way through. You don't got to be a snob or anything. Praise the Lord.
Every day, Jesus.
If you could all just take a seat real quickly. Wow, I don't know what that is, but that was pretty cool. We're going to do that later, gentlemen. Amen. We're not going to do announcements yet. There you go. Very good. My wife and I want to address yesterday, and I think it was, it's very, actually, I believe it was Friday. And I believe it's important that you understand from the ministry factor. One of the great things that we know that the enemy wants to do is bring division. And I want you to recognize and remember, and I said a little bit on Facebook, was that you and I, who are born again, are part of two nations. We have to be, and we are part of the nation called America. We live in the greatest nation of the world. Amen. But we're number one part of the kingdom of God. That is the nation that our allegiance is, loyalties are first towards. We are kingdom people. And this election has been very intense. And you know, I just want to say this. Some of you need to stop posting things on Facebook. As your pastor, I need you to understand something. I understand that everybody here has an allegiance to one party or the other party or one participant or the other participant. But I need you to recognize that your freedom, if it brings wounds, is not freedom. It is wounding. And in the kingdom of God, we have got to be sensitive and pay attention, because the enemy would love to come and divide God's kingdom. And in this house, we just take a strong stance. And that is, I don't care what party you're from. I don't care what nation you're from. The greatest nation that we're part of is God's kingdom. And we're here for a reason. Now, I've got news for all of us. And that is, I don't care what president is in. The ultimate will of God is still coming to fruition. There will be an Antichrist. And Brother Tiff has already shown, Tiff Shuttles were shown, he's already alive. There will be a rapture of the church. There will be a great tribulation period. There will be a millennial reign of Christ. The ultimate will of God will occur. It does not matter what president is in. I remember when President Bush got in, a lot of the conservatives were very happy. He just happened to be one of the greatest proponents of the one world government this world has ever seen. So listen, it does not matter. What matters is the kingdom you're part of. There is no fear in the kingdom of God. And one nation under God. And our passion and our purpose in this house is that we focus on what our job is. And division destroys the job and the purpose of the church. Our job is simple. Seek and save them which are lost. Bring healing to the brokenhearted. Restore sight to the blind, both physically and spiritually. And so please pay attention. I know that we're passionate people. I know this election has been very fervent, on fire, and quite stimulating. But the number one kingdom and nation we're part of is the nation of God. And in this house, we take a stance against any division the devil would try to do. Amen? Because we got a job to do. We don't got time to play foolishness. And if you're waiting for a government to fix your problems, you've been waiting too long anyways. Because if a government could have fixed your problems, they'd have fixed them a long time ago. There's only one hope for this nation, and that's Jesus. And that doesn't come from the elected president. That comes from the body of Christ. So the more we're unified, the more we understand the love of God, the more we live in the love of God, the more we push the purpose of God, the more our country will be healed. Not by the president that's voted in.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Dear wife.
I just, you really encapsulated it all. We cannot be a part of division. There is real perspective that goes on. And my husband and I many times have very clear different perspectives on situations. And yet we are still unified and we are still one. Just like us, the body of Christ, brothers and sisters in the kingdom of God. Let us be unified no matter what our perspective is. Please, please, in this house, don't allow perspective to divide one another. We need to let love rise above perspective and just saturate us as we are kingdom people.
Amen. Amen. So do me a favor. Let's stand to our feet. And let's go love on one another.
Amen.
Hit the timer, boys and girls. Go find somebody you don't know and shake their hand and say, good morning, I love you.
Started going to church and religious ed when I was about 6 years old. Did all the sacraments, grew up in the Roman Catholic Church, but I realized I never got anything out of it. I couldn't tell you anything about it. When I got here to His Tabernacle Family Church, recognized a rock solid faith, started attending, and it was exactly what I needed to really understand the fundamentals and get a foundation, a strong foundation, and it really is the title, rock solid. Very wisdom filled, very exciting, because you get a chance to learn. You get a chance to learn about Jesus. You get a chance to learn about the kingdom, and I'm just excited that I got a chance to do that at this point in my life, and I'm just blessed.
Have you ever wondered how sound can shatter glass? Like the ripple effect, sound demands movement. There is an action that demands a reaction. Everything began with a sound. God, the creator of everything, created the whole universe with his sound. Every great movement in history began with a sound.
I have a dream.
One person found their voice.
My four little children one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today.
Sound will always create movement. Movement that demands change. Change that ushers in a new era.
So sit back, close your eyes, and listen. What is the sound you've created?
Good morning, His Tabernacle. How are you today? Awesome. We just want to welcome our live stream guests really quickly. We love having you on. It's another extension of our campus here. If you go ahead and join the chat section, that would be awesome. If you have any prayers, really anything in there, we can answer your questions. And this morning at the house, if we have any visitors for the first time that maybe didn't receive a packet out front, we'd love for you just to raise your hand real quick so we can give you a packet, give you all the information about what's going on here in the house. I'd love to be able to bless you with that. We have a young lady over here, a gentleman back there, and thank you guys so much for taking a great step this morning, and we're excited to have you here. Don't forget, also, right after service, we have a meet and greet over here for if you're a first-time guest. Just bring your little ticket. We'd love to have coffee with you, share our heart, let you ask any questions, and prayerfully we'll have a great answer. But we're excited to have every single person here this morning. I believe God has something great for you today. Come on. You got to give me something. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. You're too good. You're too good. You're too kind. But hey, we just want to remind you about a couple things. The video highlighted some things, but there's something for everybody here at this house. And that's what I love about it. So we have a couple things I want to reiterate to you. The first one is next steps. Look, if you're not part of Next Steps, you got to get into it. I'm telling you, this is the launching point to you not just being at church, but growing spiritually. We don't want just people to attend. We want you to grow in your relationship with Jesus. And a large part of that is your education, understanding who He is and what He's going to do in your life and the steps that you need to take as well. So Next Steps, you can go online, histabernacle.com, and scroll down, hit Next Steps, and register. We just started a new class last week on faith and finances, and we also have Rock Solid Faith Tuesday nights, Wednesday mornings, and Thursday nights for anybody that's not a part of those. We'd love to see anybody and everybody involved. They're absolutely great. And the next thing I got to tell you about is the Uproar Talent Show. Look, guys, let me talk to you for a minute. Ladies, let me just talk to you guy real quick. Look, date nights can be hard, because there's like 12 restaurants around here, and you can only go to them so many times, and then you do the same thing every single Valentine's Day. I get it. It can be a pain. So look, we wanted to help you out this year. Dress up. It's $30 a ticket. Include your dinner. There's entertainment, and it's going to partner with Uproar Conference, which is our free conference that's going to the first arena this year, which we're crazy excited about. So out front, you can go ahead and grab a ticket and partner with us. If you're saying, you know what, I'm not really interested in that, there's other ways to partner. You can go right to the website, theuproar.org, and hit register. We're looking for 200 partners at $20 a month, and that will make this event amazingly easy to pull off. Let me check my notes. I don't think I have anything else. I don't want to get in trouble. We have a missions trip, guys, to Mexico. Look, there's Cancun. But then there's Campeche. Cancun's man-made. Campeche is not. It's beautiful. Like, man-made beaches, Cancun. Campeche, no. Not only Campeche, but they have the best fish in the world. But not only the best fish in the world, but there's also, you're going to spread the gospel. And that's what we're excited about. We're going to be working in a stadium, I believe. And we're going to be able to see Jesus do some crazy things. So if you want to be a part of that with Brother Tiff Shuttlesworth, you can go right on the website again. Look, go to the website. Everything you need is there. Go right to the website, histabernacle.com. Go to the bottom. Click on the missions trip. Sign up, even if you're a little bit interested, so we can figure out how to get you there and if it will work in your family. I believe that's all I have to say. So if you guys will warmly welcome Pastor Rhonda to the altar, that would be awesome. Thank you, guys.
awesome. As we enter in this time of tithes and offerings, you know, tithes work much like gravity. Tithes are a spiritual law that we can count on. When the Word of God says, give and it shall be given to you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. But our attitude towards tithe takes a huge play in our tithe. I love this. There's a passage in Matthew chapter 13 that says two different times. It talks about the seed that falls into the ground, and some of it brought forth 30, 60, and 100. So we're guaranteed at least 30% when we give in good ground. But there's a difference. There's 30, 60, and 100 fold. When I tithe and sow, I want to see a 100 fold return. And that comes when we give joyfully. You know, Abraham in Genesis 14, it talks about how he tithed. It wasn't even a part of the law yet. He tithed because he loved his God. He adored being part of the kingdom of God. And that needs to be our heart in giving of our tithes and offerings, not because it's a mandatory. Now, we get the minimum, the 30% return, but we want maximum out of our giving. Get how you give is how you will receive. It says, with what measure you give, it will be measured back to you. And that comes from our heart in giving. It doesn't come from the dollar amount. It comes simply from our heart in giving. So as we prepare to give today, let's prepare our heart and give out of our love for our King. Stand to your feet. We'll make our supernatural declaration from the Word of God, because it's a law, a supernatural law, tithing. And Deuteronomy 28 says, if I obey, then I am blessed going in, and I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse, and I am blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up. God, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. As you come forward today, we will be receiving communion. So make sure you grab your communion cup. Everybody come forward and get them. Bring your tithes and offerings to the Lord.
Thank you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm not sure if I'm on or off or upside down. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're just so excited. I want you all to, who did not get a communion cup, we want to make sure that they bring one to you. If you did not receive a communion cup, would you like one? We have a young lady in the back. Come on, if you could move real quick there, ushers, and make sure you bring them back. Hallelujah. Make sure everybody gets a communion cup. We're going to be doing that at the end of the sermon, please. So we're going to receive communion together at the end. Is that all right? Praise the Lord. Turn to someone and say, I love Jesus. Well, some of you love Jesus less than you used to. So I want to challenge you to love God more. Amen. Some of you need to get rid of some stuff in your life that you've allowed to overtake your passion for Christ. And I challenge you to abandon it because it will never bring productivity to your spiritual life, which is your eternity. And today I just am excited because this is the year of, boy, you're awful quiet. This is the year of generosity, and we are the generous church. Without any reservation, without any question, you are phenomenally generous people. I want to remind you what generosity is. Generosity is different from giving. There are a lot of people who give but are not generous. When many people give, they give what they can. They give what makes them feel okay. But generosity is giving above and beyond what is asked or needed. And God wants to put a spirit of generosity within his body. Why? Because in these last days, there is no time for playing around. Can I hear an amen? I said, there's no time for playing around. Can I hear an amen? Jesus is coming. Ooh, I felt an anointing on that. Jesus is coming. And Christ is coming so soon, it is going to shock so many people. And there's a need for us to be ready and start bringing in the harvest quicker than we've ever done it. Can I hear an amen? That means that generosity must be part of who you are. Now, the opposite of generosity is poverty and lack. Now, many people, if you look across the nation, in fact, if you look at our own county, our county is filled with poverty and lack. And today, I want you to recognize that the body of Christ is who brings change to a region. Your government can't fix it. You're not out there with me this morning. Your government can't fix it or already would have. All the programs in the world can't fix it or they already would have. There's only one government that's been abandoned that if we would go back to, we would see the prosperity of the nation, and that is the kingdom's God, the kingdom of God, the nation of God, the government of God, and upon his shoulders is the government. It's Christ to recognize that change and transformation in your neighborhood, change and transformation in our region, change and transformation in your families does not come but by any other way than Jesus Christ. And we need to get back to the God of heaven. We need to get back to the God of prosperity, back to the God of blessing, and abandon poverty. Can I hear an amen? You see, poverty is when people hoard. When people protect what they have, people don't give. Now, the fact is that that is the reality of the church world. The church world gives the same amount as the world. I don't know if you knew that or not. There's a study that was done, and the study that was accomplished and brought back was that charitable giving between the world and the church is the same. That the world gives as much charitably as the church does. So there's been an issue that's infiltrated the body of Christ because the most generous people on this planet should be the body of Christ. The most generous people on this planet should be the body of Christ. I'm not talking money. I'm talking generosity of life. I'm talking generosity means giving above and beyond what is expected or needed. You see, it's one thing to give. It's another thing to be generous. And we serve a generous God. Can I hear an amen? You see, poverty is not about money. It's about attitude. Our verse for the year is found in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 25, and it says this. The generous soul will be made rich. Turn to someone and say, I think I want to be generous. Now, how many of you wouldn't mind having more? How many of you wouldn't mind having a little bit more peace? How many of you wouldn't mind having a little bit more joy? How many of you wouldn't mind having a little bit more money? And all the other ones said, amen, hallelujah. In every aspect of our life, more is the purpose and the plan of God. I want to bless you abundantly above all you could even ask or imagine. There's a necessity because the church has abandoned a principle. Now, I want you to recognize that there'll always be injustices done to the Word of God. There'll always be those who will injure the Scripture. There will always be those who will go out and do stupid things in the name of God. But you cannot throw the baby out with the bathwater. Can I hear an amen? We must understand that God is not the God of lack, but God is the God of excess. God is the God of access. God is the God of blessing. Can I hear an amen? The church world has gone aside, and we've got to come back to the mindset of God. The generous soul, turn to someone and say, I am generous. Now, some of you are prophesying. Just make sure you're not prophelying. Amen. Shout, I'm a generous soul. The generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will also be watered himself. You see, poverty is lack. I have never seen somebody in poverty said, wow, I just love this life. Poverty is prison. Poverty holds you back from your greatest dreams. There's some people in this room, you have dreams in your life that you've had all your life that you have never stepped forward into because it takes money. You've always had a dream, but you've never had the funding to accomplish that dream. And you see, anybody that says poverty in whatever aspect of life is not imprisonment, then they are truly delusioned. Because it is time to recognize that God gives you dreams, not so they rest in your head. There are many dreams and many visions. There are many, listen now, I believe cures for different diseases that are now 8 feet underground because they died in the person rather than manifesting on the planet. Poverty destroys dreams. What is poverty? Poverty is lack. It's the state of being without. It's the exact opposite of generosity. Now, the church has adopted poverty as being something good. We have a whole religion that literally teaches that if you've got nothing, you're more spiritual. In fact, they don't pay. They don't take care of the preachers. And it's time to have a mind change. The body must be the most productive, the most prosperous people on this planet. Because we have a job to do, and it's not to store up treasures on earth, but it's for you and I to be so blessed, so prosperous, with no lack in our life in any facet, so that the world will look at us just like they did in Israel and say, God is with them. You see, lack is a horrific place to be in. There are people with spiritual lack. There are people with emotional lack. How many of you met somebody that has wounds inside? They have that emotional lack. They're wounded inside. There's educational lack. There's health lack. There's lack in your wealth. Lack in any aspect of your life is not the plan of God. And today I'm going to prove to you through the scripture. And this is what I love to do. I love to take and exercise the word of God and to abolish those white elephants in the room. I love to kill religious cows. People have adopted doctrine in their life that is not the word of God. And whatever you believe, you start to live. Whatever you live, you start to speak. Whatever you speak, you start to sow. Whatever you sow, you get the harvest of. Lack is not of God. Turn to someone and say, lack is not of God. Turn to somebody else and say, poverty is prison and never the plan of God. Now, immediately, people are thinking about money. Listen now, prosperity is relative. To one person, prosperity might be $100 an hour. To another one, it might be, thank God I've got $10.50.
To one, it might be living in a mansion. To another, it might be having a place like a lady I knew named Bixby. She lived in a 14-foot trailer, and she had a 4-foot pool in her front yard. She was the richest woman on that hill. And I mean, she was rich. She loved life. She enjoyed life. That was her prosperity. Prosperity has nothing to do with amounts. Prosperity has nothing to do with what you got in your pocket. Prosperity is whether we have the mindset of God or poverty, the mind of loss. To be able to find out where lack came from, we've got to search the scriptures. We've got to understand the mind of God. Turn to someone and say, I have the mind of Christ. That's what the Bible says. You have the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus. Where did lack and poverty originate? Well, let me show you where it's not. Is that fair? Let's look at what the scripture has to say. Where there is no loss, where there is no lack, where there's nothing missing, nothing lacking, nothing destroyed. Where is that? The first place we see that is the Garden of Eden. How many of you like that God created the Garden of Eden? God actually created it. He said he planted a garden, the Bible says, in Genesis chapter 2. He put man and woman in that garden, and he gave them everything they needed. Listen now, true prosperity is having every aspect of your life, every facet of your life taken care of. In the garden, there was no sickness. In the garden, there was no lack of relationship with God. In the garden, there was no lack of food. In the garden, there was no lack of love. In the garden, there was no lack. There was no poverty. Everything they wanted, everything they needed, every facet of their life was taken care of by God himself. When we start looking at the original plan of God, we start seeing the mind of God. You see, the principle of the firsts is that God did this first to show us what his actual plan is. And the actual plan of God is not that we scrounge. The plan of God is not that we just barely make it by. The plan of God is not that we walk wounded in our hearts and our minds our entire life and need counseling all the time and need drugs to bring down the depression. I'm here to tell you, no matter what area of your life, God has blessing for you. God has prosperity for you. He is a generous God. He wants you healthy. He wants you sozo. Sozo is a word and that's found in the Greek for what? Salvation. Salvation simply means not just that you don't go to hell, but literally that every aspect of your life is healthy. Heaven's the next place we see where there's absolutely no lack. The Bible says in Revelation 21 verse 4, there'll be no more pain, there'll be no more suffering, there'll be no more death, and there'll be no more sadness. How many of you are okay with heaven? Watch, they had it in the garden. The same lifestyle they had in the garden. Now, I want to remind you that in the garden, they had the tree of life. The tree of life is they ate the leaves and life perpetuated. I want to remind you that they were living in the mindset of heaven and they were living in the blessings of heaven. That everything that God had, God gave them. There was no need, there was no lack, there was no poverty in the Garden of Eden. Heaven is so powerful that there's no more tears, there's no more sadness, there's no more sickness, there's no more death. Oh man, I love Revelation chapter 21 when it starts actually describing the New Jerusalem. And it starts 21, starting with verse 15. And one who was speaking with me had a gold measuring rod to measure the city and its gates and its walls. Now watch now. This gold measuring rod, how many of you know gold is a little expensive? This gold measuring rod was to measure the city. Now, what's amazing is that the city was 14 miles wide, 1,400 miles square, and 1,400 miles high. From here to Florida. Now, how many of you know that's a pretty long measuring stick? Our mindset is that heaven is the place of God's blessing. The garden might be the place of God's blessing, but on earth, we are losing. But I'm here to tell you that if you are living this world and this nation, Christian's mentality, yes, you will lose. Yes, you'll live in lack. Yes, you'll live in a level of poverty in some aspect of your life. But when you and I transition into being people of covenant, when you and I transition into being people of kingdom mentality, when you and I step into the greatest nation that this world has ever seen, called the kingdom of God, then we live by the constitution of the word of God, which is the Bible. And the Bible makes a declaration of what the Father will do in our lives and what God will do for one. He will do for all. There's no lack. There's no poverty in the garden. There's no lack. There's no poverty in heaven. So where did it start? It's interesting. Because when you see where it started, and then you see what Christ did to fix it, you see the most amazing place on earth was that garden. They walked with God in the cool of the day. They had a living, vibrant, face-to-face relationship with God himself. They had every tree on this entire planet that was planted for them to enjoy and to eat. There was no sickness. Listen, there was no shame. They were running naked all the time. And listen now, some people say, well, you know, they were just nice. But no, listen, God said, replenish the earth. So they were having great marital sex. Everything that they could ever want was available and being given in the Garden of Eden. It was an amazing place. But one day, and I remind you of the principle of access. Adam and Eve had full access to everything that heaven had to give to them. There was nothing that heaven did not have that God was not willing to give. God gave them everything that they needed, so they lived a life with no lack and no poverty. And one day they decided that they were going to commit high treason. One day they decided and did. Adam, the Bible says Eve was beguiled, but Adam willfully sinned. And that day everything changed. Immediately, poverty and lack came into their life. You see, sin has always been the condition of mankind that has stimulated loss. Sin is always the very number one principle that started all the way back with Adam and Eve that instigated lack and poverty in people's lives. The moment that Adam and Eve sinned, what happened? They noticed there was shame. They then had lack of integrity. They had lack of a good conscience. They hid themselves from God. Then we find that God called out, "Where are you?" He knew where they were physically, but he called out because he was missing the next thing that they lost, which was that intimate relationship. For God cannot be in the presence of sin, for God is holy. Can I hear an amen? And then there was that the curse that came down upon. That at that moment, they were expelled from the Garden of Eden. They were expelled from the place of prosperity. They were expelled from the place where there was no lack and no poverty. They were expelled to a place that now Adam, by his brow, by the sweat of his brow, now had to work within thorns and thistles to bring forth fruit that he never had to work for before. You see, sin was the introduction to the loss of God's prosperity in people's lives. Loss, the loss that happened because Adam and Eve sinned was one that was so detrimental that even today, the first Adam brought death, but thank God for the second Adam because he brought life. See, up to this point, there was no lack. And it's important for the body of Christ to come back to this mindset. Because if we don't understand where lack began, then we're going to blame our government. We're going to blame our jobs. We're going to blame our husband. We're going to blame our wife. And I'm not talking money lack. I'm talking any area of lack in our lives. And we've got to come back to the place of saying, listen, yes, Adam sinned. Adam committed high treason. Adam got us kicked out of blessing and prosperity. The first Adam brought death. But I thank God for Jesus, because Jesus isn't some figurative person that sits up in a religious monument, but he is the Son of God who came down here and walked on this planet so that we could be called children of God, washed by the blood of Christ. And what Jesus did on Calvary's tree was far more than just a religious perspective. It was a supernatural act. What the first Adam brought in poverty and lack, the second Adam brought life. You see, Adam and Eve brought death spiritually, emotionally, and physically, and in poverty. Adam and Eve really weren't good people to us. How many of you know that? They did bad things. And their effect on our lives is real. The problem is that many people go to churches. Now, I'm here to tell you one more time. I was just talking to someone this week. The church you go to and what they preach determines the level of the covenant you will enter. The church you go to and what is preached will determine whether you are seek ye first the kingdom of God or seek ye first religion. And religion is lack. Religion is poverty. God said, I hate your new moon feast, Isaiah. He said, I hate all these festivals because I want your heart. God has always wanted the heart of man. God has always wanted a relationship with man. And the greatest thing that Adam and Eve destroyed is they destroyed that relationship that God had with them. That was the greatest lack that mankind has ever felt. For the Bible makes a declaration, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Lord, I'm here to tell you today the good news, and that is that God, he saw the loss, he saw the lack, he saw the poverty, and he sent the answer. There's nothing worse than God seeing the problem and never sending the answer. But he sent the answer, and his name is Jesus. Turn to someone and say, I sure love Jesus. The Bible makes a declaration in Romans chapter 5, verse 19, for as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience, many were made righteous. Hallelujah. Galatians chapter 3, 13 and 14, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on the tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. You see, this is an easy one to read over. He became sin for us who knew no sin. Sin being the one thing that propelled man into poverty. God said, I've got to send an answer. I've got to send one to fix this problem. This sin problem is a death problem. It will cost them their eternity. So I'm going to send someone. I'm going to send my beloved son. I'm going to send the lamb that was slain before the foundations of the earth. I'm going to give the one who is without spot or blemish. I'm going to send the one who will die without any sin in his life, who will take a hold of what Adam did and destroy it so that the children of God, the Gentiles, can what? Enjoy the blessings of Abraham. Now, I want you to see something now. It's very important. Because some of you have just accepted lack. Some of you have stepped back and you've accepted a level of poverty. Some of you have stepped back and said, well, this is the life that I made, so I guess I've got to live it. I'm here to tell you, Jesus Christ lived a life so that you can live a better life. Jesus Christ gave his all so you can live blessed and not cursed. Christ gave it all so you can live in blessing and not in lack. It's time to grab a hold of your mentality. It's time to grab a hold of your thought process and get back to the Word of God that makes a declaration. The prosperous soul shall become rich. The generous soul shall become rich, not the survivor. We have a survivor's mentality. God's not called his church to survive. You don't have Jesus because you needed a crutch. You have Jesus because you needed life. That means you are smart, not dumb. Amen? Some people say, well, you know, you go to church, you just needed a crutch. Oh, no, I didn't need a crutch. I needed life. I didn't need life that just brought it here, but I needed life that brought it eternally. And I needed a God who sent his son, who loved me so much that I don't have to live in lack in my heart. I don't have to live in lack in my mind. I don't have to live in lack in my love. I don't have to live in lack in my family. I don't have to live in lack in my peace. I don't have to live in lack in any area of my life because Jesus Christ has paid it all so that I can live in the blessings of Abraham. Lack is never of God. Lack is never of God. Genesis chapter 12, verse 2 and 3 says this. I will make you, this is the promise of blessing of Abraham. So this is yours. Turn to someone and say, this is mine. I will make you a great nation. You need to recognize that. You see, if you're a father in this room, then you have generations and legacy. And God has called you to be a blessing of nations. Now, I see, I take this very serious. I know I mentioned it last week, but I want to mention it one more time. I pray for my generations almost every single morning. I pray the covenant of God over my family every single morning. And this is how I pray. Father, I thank you that in the name of Jesus, you are a covenant God and I am your covenant son. I thank you that in the name of Jesus, I have the right to lay hold of, according to the Constitution, not only the legal principles, but also the compassion and the love that you have for our family. And I thank you in the name of Jesus that Michael, Rhonda, Cody, Chad, Corinne, Mindy, and Jade, and Sophia, and I lost his name, Jackson, he's not here yet, he's on his way. All of Chad's children that have not occurred, Corinne's husband, and all of Corinne's children, to the fifth generation, we will not lose one supernaturally, spiritually. Not one of them will walk away from God. I declare in the name of Jesus that no sickness, no disease, and no maiming will come upon my family to the fifth generation. And I declare that my family will not taste of poverty or lack because of the promises and the covenant of God. And I decree that over my family. Why? Because I know the rights that Christ has paid for. And I know the blessing that God has for us. And it's time to be people that will latch a hold of the promise of God and not just sit back and moan and whine in lack. Can I hear an amen? Amen. I love the rest of this. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. You know, we've been taught this false humility in the body of Christ so long. Well, you know, I just hiding behind the cross. Well, you know, I don't want them to see me. I just want them to see Jesus. Well, I'm sorry. They're going to see you. My favorite one is the old one. Well, I just dance in the spirit. I don't dance in the flesh. Well, I'm sorry. Pinch yourself. You're still in the flesh. We have all these religious little things that we do, and they're stupid. God said to Abram, I'm going to make your name great. Why did he say that? Well, we all know the verse in Ecclesiastes chapter 9 where a poor man saved the city because he had wisdom. But no one remembered him, even with all the wisdom he had, because he was poor. When your name makes no effect, that means it makes no effect. God said, I want to make your name great. God says, I want to put you in a position where people are going to recognize you. They're going to recognize your name. And when they do, you're going to decree and declare that I am the God of Abraham. I am the God of Isaac. I am the God of Jacob. I am the God of deliverance. I am the God of no lack and no poverty. I am the God that will bless them abundantly above all they could even ask or imagine. God wants to stir in your heart that he wants to make your name great. Can I hear an amen? Amen? Cursed is everyone that hangs on the tree, as it said in Galatians chapter 3. But when Jesus rose from the dead, his name became great. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you. In you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Jesus said, listen now. The blessings of Abraham will come upon the Gentiles because the one who became poor for us in spirit became and gave us riches in spirit and in flesh, so that God's name will be known amongst the people. When you ever do a study about the children of Israel, the one thing that you always find is this, that the people of the world were afraid of the children of Israel because God was on their side. How did they know God was on their side? You see, this is where we've got to get back to. The people of this world look at the church as weak, insufficient, sad people. Well, you go to church, huh? Like every week? I mean, I don't understand. You know, why would you need to go to church like every week? I go Christmas, maybe Easter even. You know, you what? You give money to the church? Oh my goodness, what is wrong with you? See, the people of the world don't look at the church as people they want to be like. They look at us as these poor, poverty, lacking people that they can't understand why you've got to go and serve God. But what that means is that you and I need to start showing forth who he really is. We need to stop being ashamed of the gospel of Christ. We need to step back and say that because of the covenant rights of heaven, I know that who I am, and I know that God will keep me. I know with God on my side, I cannot fail. I know that if I touch it, it is blessed. Wherever I go, whatever I do, if God is on my side, God is going to propel me, and people are going to recognize that God is good and not bad. Can I hear an amen? You see, Jesus redeemed us. He bought us back. Listen now, I'm not trying to belabor this, but I need us to understand this. Where lack came into being on this planet was because of sin. The first Adam brought death, and many people have just sat back in Christian land, and they've said, well, I guess, you know, Adam did his thing, so therefore we have to suffer too. But no, my God, he has an answer for you. He sent his son to buy us back from what Adam did, buy us back from sin. Sin. He became sin for us. He took a hold of that cursed thing as he hung on the tree, and he said, I now am giving you the blessings of Abraham. I'm giving it to the Gentiles. How can he do that? Because he paid the price. Jesus came to give us back what Adam and Eve lost. See, we have a relationship with Jesus now. We have a relationship with God himself because Christ died. Because Christ died and is part of the covenant of Christ. And it's so sad that the church only teaches part of the covenant. Most churches will stand up and preach that salvation through the blood of Jesus. And how many of you are thankful for the blood of Jesus? But that's just one part of the covenant. That's just one part of what Jesus accomplished. That's just one piece that Christ accomplished on Calvary's tree. And when he rose again, he sealed it in eternity. You see, Christ didn't just save you to get out of hell. Christ didn't just save you so you can make it by. Christ didn't just save you so that if you die, you go to heaven. But Christ saved you so that you could be powerful on this planet, so that your name would be great, and that God would get glory from your life. You see, you're here because God's got destiny for you, not survival for you. But you can't survive and be a testimony. Christ accomplished three main things on the cross of Calvary. One, his blood washed away all your sin so you and I could be in relationship, intimacy with the Father like Adam and Eve had in the garden. 1 Peter chapter 2:24, Jesus Christ came to die on the cross to heal your body. If you believe it's God's will to save, you believe it's God's will to heal. Well, you know, if it happens, praise the Lord. But if not, I'll be healed in heaven. Liar. You've copped out. You've surrendered part of your covenant. Well, pastor, it's appointed and a man wants to die and then the judgment. Absolutely. If Christ does not come and that trumpet sound and we're raptured, then every one of us in this room will die a physical death. But one thing I know, God doesn't need to kill you with cancer. He's more powerful than that. He can suck your breath out of your body and you can die. You don't need to die of some disease. If Christ paid for it, why would he put it on you to take you home? It's messed up, but the church has bought it. Christ came to heal your body. He came to heal your mind. He came to heal your heart. I love Luke chapter 4, verse 18. I came to heal the brokenhearted. I don't care who you are today. If there's brokenness, there's lack. And Christ did not come so you could live in lack. Christ came so that you could live in abundance. Christ came so you could live in blessing and not poverty. You see, poverty is far greater than having to do with a dollar in your pocket. It has to do with the lifestyle that you live. The last thing that Christ came and died on the cross for was poverty. That's where it began, all the way in the garden. And Christ has accomplished and overcome every single thing that the garden did with Adam and Eve. He's given you and I divine access where we can go to the Father at anything, at any time we need. And God said, Hebrews chapter 4, that we can go before the throne of God boldly and bring our petitions before him. That means outspokenly. That means every one of us in this room that is blood washed in Jesus Christ have the right to go before God himself. And God said, if you ask anything in my son's name, I'll give it to you. Well, I don't know. And that's exactly why you don't got. Because some of us have never been taught, or we've been taught wrong. We've got to get back to the word of God, because it's God's word that matters, not the word of a church and not the word of a man. Can I hear an amen? Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9 says this, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. That you might become, excuse me, that you through his poverty might become rich. You know what's amazing to me is the spiritual folk. Well, hallelujah. I really do want to just do my jowl movement right now. I just want you to know the glory of God. That God is sovereign. He can do whatever he wants in your life. That's not true. God cannot do two things. God will not go against your will, and God cannot go against his word. And when you study his word, the one thing you find about this verse, because all the super spiritual people try to say that he's talking about salvation there, look it up. The context has nothing to do with salvation. It has everything to do with money. It has everything to do, and when you look it up in the Greek, it's not talking about poor in spirit. Poverty is, it's talking about money. It's talking about things. Christ became poverty. What do you mean he became poverty? Listen, Jesus was in heaven. There was nothing he did not have. Remember, there's no lack, there's no poverty in heaven. He came down here to live as a man. He gave up everything, all of his heavenly glory, to come down here and surrender himself. That is called poverty compared to heaven. He said, I became poverty that you might become rich. And the richness of God is not just money, but it's so that lack is not part of your life. When lack is part of our lives, we need to go back to the scripture and say, God, where do I need to readjust myself to get back to the principles of generosity and not survival? Amen. I'm almost done. I preached a long time. I know some of you are tired. I'm watching you slowly gaze into the sky. I'm just praying for osmosis to occur. It amazes me because people will go and see Zig Ziglar when he was alive and they pay $500 plus and sit down for 8 hours to learn principles of prosperity and how to grow a business. But the people of God whine when you preach 40 minutes. Amen. How many of you remember Matthew chapter 6, 9, and 10? The disciples said to Jesus, "Jesus, teach us how to pray." Who did they ask? I said, who did they ask? Who is Jesus? He's the Son of God. Does Jesus know how to pray? Huh. So Jesus knew how to pray. So when they asked him, he gave them the answer of how to pray. And this is what he taught them. In this manner, pray therefore. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That means recognize him for who he is. That means give him honor that's due his name. Acknowledge him because he is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Watch now. Your kingdom come. Seek ye first the. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in. Is there poverty in heaven? Is there lack in heaven? Is there sickness in heaven? Is there disease in heaven? Is there sadness in heaven? Hold on, Jesus. You messed up, man. You messed up, Jesus. You don't get this thing. You see, we live in this earth, and on this earth, life is hard. And on this earth, you know, we're Christians, and we're just trying to make it. Glory to God. And you know, I just want you to know, Lord, that I thank you that if I die, I'm going to heaven, and I'm just gonna make it, Lord. And I'm here. Yay. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus said, pray this way. Pray that what is in heaven, there's no lack. Pray that what's in heaven, no lack in relationship, no lack with sickness and disease, no lack with emotional, mental wounds in heaven, no lack with depression or anxiety, no lack. Come on now, there's no poverty in heaven, there's no lack in heaven. Why are we just sitting back and praying about our lack here on this earth? I'm almost done. This is why we're teaching this now. Because your reaction to lack in your life actually decrees which kingdom you serve the most. When trouble comes in our lives and lack appears in our life, our reaction to that determines the kingdom that we serve the most. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Are we decreeing heaven to manifest on earth? Or are we sitting down and looking at earth and saying, I got to figure out how to get out of this problem? Are we putting more faith in the nation that we're in or more faith in the nation that we're from? For I'm not of this world. There comes a place in our walk with God where we take a leap. And that leap is from living our carnal Christian lifestyle of just going to heaven to being people of covenant rights, to being people that live a life of generosity because our God is a generous God. I refuse to just suck air and just make it by until the trumpet sounds. I'm a son and daughter of the Most High King. There is no sickness allowed in my body. There's no sin allowed in my body. There's no poverty allowed in my body. I am a son of God. I'll live it. I'll pray it. I'll decree it. And I know that God, he is not a liar. God cannot lie. And if I declare it, God's got to bring it to fruition. It is his covenant, not mine. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory. Oh boy, I tell you. You know, when you get this, it changes everything. Because how you pray changes. When you need something, whether it be emotional, whether it be physical, whether it be relational, You pray one way when you're carnally minded and another way when you're kingdom minded. And how you pray is how you receive. So when you're praying carnal, what are you going to get? When you pray spiritual, what are you going to get? Do not be deceived, for God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. If a man sows of the flesh, he shall of the flesh reap corruption. If he sows of the Spirit, he shall of the Spirit reap eternal life. I know I'm more teaching today than preaching. But now listen, this is one we got to get in our spirit. Where did poverty start? Where sin began. Where did poverty end? When Christ came. It did not come for the people of this world. It came for the saints, the sons and daughters. For a person cannot get and participate with a house unless he's part of the family. So if you're part of the family of God, it's time to start addressing the lack in your life. It's time to take inventory and say, listen, where do I see lack in my life? Whether it be in my family, whether it be in my relationships, whether it be with God, whether it be with this, whether it be with... And say, Jesus, what is it in my life? God, where do I need to readjust? Oh, God, I'm going to pray just like you taught me. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. I call heaven to earth. I declare that my life shall participate with the very principles that heaven is. And I will have no lack in my life because God is on my side. I'm a child of the King, and God's promises are yea and amen, and I refuse to settle for a second best and what this world has to offer. And that's the difference between being a surviving Christian and a son and daughter who knows who you are in Jesus. Can I hear an amen? Grab your communion cup with me this morning. We'll be done here in another 30 minutes. You see, this is why I had you do it at the end. Communion is about this. It's about what Christ accomplished on Calvary. Some of you just settled, man. You've accepted it. You've accepted the lack as your life. You've accepted the lack as your life. Now listen, you're going to constantly come upon barriers that you need to overcome. Can I hear an amen? But I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And if the covenant decrees it, God has to back it. Or God's a liar, let's all go home and stop playing religion. You see, today, when we take communion, you're reminding yourself that lack has no part of your life. Some of you are struggling with sin. And you say that sin is just too big, the sin is too strong. I want you to know that you are no longer a slave to sin. That through the blood of Jesus, you have been set free from sin and it has no right in your life. And you are not living in lack and poverty of power. You've got all you need to overcome that sin. If you're sick in your body today, I want you to know that God, through Jesus Christ, came and by his stripes, you were healed 2,000 years ago on the cross of Christ. Your healing doesn't come today. Your healing's already been bought. You just go to the store and pick it up. It's called access. If you're dealing with financial poverty in your life, emotional poverty in your life, marital poverty in your life, you're in poverty in your broken heart, today God wants to start mending you. It's his promise, and this is yours. Turn to someone and say, this is mine. Now listen, if you're not a child of God, it's not yours. You just get to watch us enjoy it. There's nothing worse than watching somebody else eat somebody's ice cream. Now listen, I love salad. But when I eat salad, now if you're new here, salad equals ice cream. If someone's eating salad over here, I'm saying, Lord, I need salad. And my wife's a witness. I'm buying salad. Last night, Mr. Redner and his bride went to supper with us. We sat down and he came by and he said, would you like a dessert? And my carnal flesh says no. And my spirit jumped within me and said, yea, saith God. So I looked at Minister Redner, and I said, what are you going to get? He said, I'm going to get this one. And I go, yep. And he ordered first. It wasn't me. I didn't order first. But I want no lack in my life. So I ordered a brownie obsession. And it came with two spoons. Because my wife expected generosity. And yea, saith God, she took it. Today, there's no lack in your life. And where there is, you need to change it. Amen? If it's in your body, grab the cracker. Say this with me. Dear Jesus, I command my body, according to your word, to come in alignment with heaven and your covenant. By your stripes, no sin, no sickness, no disease, no maiming, I will ever allow in my life, because I get Abraham's blessings and the blessings of Christ. I am your child, and I receive right now a miracle of healing in my body. In Jesus' name, not in the church's name, not in religion's name. Whoop, there it is. But in the name of Jesus, I receive my healing right now. Let's partake together. Receive your healing in Jesus' name. No sin has any power in your life. Some of you have been struggling with addictions. Some of you with emotional addictions. Today, you have the right to be free. It's what Jesus paid for. Pray this with me, dear Jesus. I break all sin in my life. I give it no place. I thank you, Jesus, that you paid for my sin and gave me power over it. And today, I live in your power. No more sin. You have no more place. And I ask forgiveness for anything in my past and receive newness of life. In Jesus' name, let's partake together. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I know I've gone late. I've gone very late. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, but you want Him in your life, I'd like you to raise your hand up if you'd like to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. I'm not talking join a church or join religion, but you want Christ in your life. Ma'am, you want Jesus? Ma'am, are you raising your hand? Yep, you want Christ? Amen. Thank God you're going to have your life changed today. Amen. Praise the Lord. Anybody else this morning? You want Jesus to change your life? You want to become a covenant child? Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Prayer teams around the front of the altar. Young lady, if I could have you come and meet me right here in the front. Grab your friend right next to you. She'll come up with you. There you go. Amen. Give her a hand clap, man. I'm very proud. Don't let him out shout. You two people are giving their heart to the Lord this morning. That's the greatest prosperity heaven ever gets. It gains lives. Amen. Father, bless us. Whatever we do, wherever we go, we declare no lack, no poverty in every portion of our life. In Jesus' name. And everybody declared it. I love you. Serve God with all of your heart in Christ's name.